We are Brightside
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the home theater podcast. It's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
Ah, isn't it so much more peaceful hearing the three of us say it as opposed to what happened in today's Takeover Tuesday? I forgot what that sounded like. Did you hear that, John?
No, I didn't get a chance to listen to any of it. I know it's Steve's rerun, though.
Yeah, it's Steve's rerun. Yeah.
And I'm not getting royalties or anything. I don't know what's going right? on.
Yeah, well, we've got official. We got reruns.
Go on strike with the writers.
Yeah, we got reruns. Look at us. But yeah, I opened it and I was like, the sights, the sounds, the scenes. I was like, oh my God, it sounds so weird to hear me say it all. It was crazy. I was like, whoa. And not only that, that I even said it on a Takeover Tuesday too. Right. Now I just roll right in. I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore. I was like,
What struck me is I was saying to you earlier, just the audio change. Oh my goodness me. It sounded dreadful for my part, not yours. Yours sounds just as good as ever, but mine sounded terrible.
Well, you've come a long way, Steve. Like we were saying earlier, how long you were on a bunch before you got the new mic.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, quite. And yet I now realize just how bad it sounded. At the time I thought it was all right, but it's my great. Goodness me. Yeah.
And like I said to you then, and I've said to everybody else that's been on, I'm like, it doesn't matter what your mic sounds like. I want that. You know, I want people when they come on for Takeover Tuesday, you don't have to have a great mic, and it makes it more real, you know, cause then it sounds like a call in or something like that. But it's like, you know, you don't have to have great audio and all of, like, remember when Paul Hurt was on and he told me about his setup? He's like, his setup to be on this show costs more than our theaters just because that's what he has handy because that's what he does for a living. I was like, oh, okay, great. but in true, I mean, we have to move this to the front of the show. Absolutely. No donations this week. So nothing got pushed to the front of the show like that. But you guys saw this. I was blown away by this. Mikey Schramm goes on vacation and he meets John down in the Dominican Republic. So he tweeted out a picture. He said, while at breakfast, I was stopped by John. He's a listener and was super excited to see someone wearing the shirt. Wanted to know where he can get one of his own. So, of course, I filled him in. So, I said to him, he had contacted me, Mike contacted me even before this. And I'm like, hey, let John know, you know, tell him to email me and I'll get him his own shirt. I'll send him his own shirt because I thought that was pretty cool. So, then I get this email. Well, which one of you would like to read this? This is pretty cool.
I don't mind. It's up to you, John. What do you want to do? Do you want to do it? Do you want me to do it?
I can do it. That's fine. Yeah. It says, hello, DJ. My name is John Pfeiffer. I am a subscriber and an avid listener of your podcast and have been for about 3 years. I am a home theater nut since the days of the Laserdisc. So a funny thing happened today here at Bahia Principe in the beautiful Dominican Republic. Me and my lovely wife, Pauline, celebrating our 35th anniversary, are being seated at the main dining room for breakfast. I see a gentleman dining, having breakfast with family and friends wearing your Brightside Home Theater t-shirt, and I nearly stopped in my tracks. I said to myself, I have to approach him, which I did. My wife thinks I'm nuts, as you can imagine. I actually thought it was you, since I don't know what you look like. I introduced myself and asked him where he got that shirt. I told him I'm a subscriber of the podcast. The whole family could not have been nicer, as I clearly interrupted their meal. We took a photograph and chatted briefly. It was amazing. And then he later spots me by the pool and calls out my name to inform me that he had spoken to you and for me to email you for a t-shirt. Unfortunately, I cannot remember the gentleman's name, but he couldn't have been nicer. I love your show, and you obviously carry great company, evident by the unnamed gentleman I met today. I will continue to press play and wish you nothing but future success. I'm hoping you reply to this email, and please give me the kind gentleman's name. It's a pleasure listening to you, John Pfeiffer.
Yeah, so I emailed him back, told him it was Mike and his family and stuff, Mike Schramm. And so he emailed me back later and said that after that, I'm like, give me your address and everything, and I'll send it to you. And he was like, oh, I feel like I just got another wedding present. And he was an anniversary present. He was so excited. And he was like, but I was just like, I thanked him for going up to Mike, because whether he thought it was me or anybody, but it's like, that's what I said when I put the t-shirts out, right? I was like, hey, you never know the conversations that are going to strike up, you know? And I also said, I think I tweeted it to Mike. I'm like, mad props for wearing a dark shirt in the Dominican Republic. Yeah. I'm like, that's hot. I'm like, what the? But yeah, it was, I said to John, I'm like, thanks for going up to him, because, you know, that's, I know your wife thinks you're crazy. I go, they think we're crazy for everything we do anyway. So, but just going up to people, and then I'm picture it on Mike's side too. Right. Wait, what? I guess, you know, he was just at breakfast and like people come on. It's like, just because he's wearing the shirt. So I thought that was really cool. Like, it's just, I was blown away by it, but I mean, I'm sending him a shirt, sending John a shirt. I'm working on a couple other things for Mike too, to keep his one man marketing machine, for God's sakes, for Brightside Home Theater. It's awesome.
He's doing a tour of South America, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently. And then Steve, what'd you see? Like, what'd you say? Like, 200,000 people and nobody said hi.
Not a word. Yeah. I was mingling all day amongst 200,000 people, quite happily strutting my stuff. And while I didn't see any other shirts like mine, but also no one came and said hello. So I'm sure it's just not our audience, Steve. That's what it is.
Yeah. Guns N' Roses crowd? No, probably not.
Yeah, they're just, you know, they didn't know what they were doing off their heads by that time of night.
That's true. But yeah, I was like, that's awesome. I mean, it's one thing, like, if you're at a home theater show or something, you know what I mean? Like a, whatever, trade show or something, and you're walking around or whatever it is, you'd expect that. But then you're like, you're just on vacation, and it's like, and he had already tweeted out the picture of just him on the beach. Right. And it's like, what the, and then to have somebody come up to you. I was like, it's so awesome on both sides, from, you know, from Mike wearing the shirt, taking it on vacation. Who packs that on vacation? It's like, thank you. But that, and then on top of that, it's like then John going up to him and being like, but that's what's great about the home theater community. I'm like, he's got home theater on. I'm going to go say hi. So pretty cool.
Yeah.
So one of the things we're going to do with this, one of the ways to say thank you to John and to Mike, you know, I've been working on a little something here to say thank you to people, and as a promotion for the show that I got other ideas for that we're going to work on. But our first ever, here we go. Our first ever Brightside Home Theater commercial, now available. The Brightside Home Theater pen. So
I'm glad you said it was a pen, Deej. It looked like something else initially.
Well, hey,
curling iron, Steve. You don't have any hair.
Yeah. What you said. Yeah.
Let me tell you. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see the pen, and you can see it says Brightside Home Theater with the brightsidehometheater.com on there. All right, guys. Easy, because I know it looks like more than a pen, because it is.
Uh-oh.
Does it vibrate, DJ?
No.
You're brutal. Is it a vibrating pen?
Yeah.
No, it's a pen, but I mean, like...
It's a gun.
No, it's like James Bond. I mean, it's also a stylist.
Nice.
Stylist.
So it is a curling iron.
So it's a stylus. You can use it to manipulate your phone. So, but not, I mean, it's a pen first and foremost, then it's a stylus too. So it's like, it's practically, it's like the Brightside home theater MacGyver tool.
It's like Swiss Army knife. Yeah.
It really is, because you know what? It also does this. You ever go behind your theater rack? I know, Steve, you've been back there a couple times, but you go back there and it's a little dark.
Steve, mm-hmm. Steve does know there is a back, at least.
There is a back, right?
I've heard rumors.
And you're trying to see back there and you just can't get enough light. Uh-oh. Well, guess what? It's a light, too.
Whoa.
Oh, and the letters light up. That's pretty snazzy.
Cool. Yeah, no, they don't. Cool. No, they don't light up. I superimpose
that's
that.
That's the flash.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
I don't want to mislead people.
That was the best part of the whole pen, man.
You just ruined everything. So, it lights up. All right. But wait, there's more. There's more. When you're sitting around and your phone keeps flopping, you're trying to watch Brightside Home Theater. It's a stand too. Look at that.
Look at that.
See?
It's pretty cool.
I can't see how does that work?
Here's the pen. You see little cutout in the middle there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That you pull that off and then it props up your phone.
Nice.
See? So it's a stylus, it's a light, and it's a stand. Oh, and it writes too. So look, I happen to have one right here, handy.
Get two for the price of one. Just pay separate shipping and handling.
Yeah, that's it.
It lights
just
up.
$9.99.
Yeah.
So works perfect. Nope, sweet. We're not charging for these. If you do something extraordinary, I'll ask for your address. I'll be sending you one. And there's going to be another thing coming up. Maybe I'll announce it next week or the week after. Another way you can earn a pen.
Oh, earn a pen. Sorry, right. I thought this was some sort of another project, another item.
Yeah. No. So, yeah. So that's I ordered these a few weeks ago. It was supposed to have the logo on there, but they told me they couldn't fit it. So
yeah.
Cool though.
But yeah,
that's all right.
But it does all that. The Brightside MacGyver Home Theater Pen.
Not curling tongs or maritalades. Do not, and let's just make this very clear, do not put it somewhere where the sun doesn't shine. We're not responsible. I think legally we need to make this clear. We're not responsible for any internal injuries that might be caused as a result of a misuse of the pen.
I don't think anybody had any issues. Oh, no.
Not yet.
No. Okay. All right. All right. We done with that. Let's get to, are you ready to get to some home theater experiences?
I am, Deej, but Deej, can you see comments? Can you see chat? No, nothing. Me neither. Yeah, me neither.
Are we on?
It says live and there are people watching on YouTube. So
there are, but why aren't we getting them?
No, I don't know why. I mean, we ought to make it clear in case people think we're ignoring them.
No, we're not. For some reason, are you seeing YouTube? Let me get us.
Yeah, there are nine. YouTube says there are nine watching. Yeah. So,
Why haven't we seen anything?
Don't know. I'm not sure. If anybody is, well, we know people are watching. If someone is, if almost just posted a chat, just even it's a quick hello, let's just see if that comes up. Maybe it'll force it.
Maybe nobody said anything.
Well,
I'm also not seeing.
We have got people chatting, including Carl Ellsworth is in the chat on YouTube. I can see it. So I don't know why that's not coming up. Guys, please don't think we're ignoring you. We can't see it on our screen, but we've got it on YouTube.
Yeah. We have up where it says live. I see no numbers of, viewers either. So somehow, I mean, I'm glad it went out. I was afraid because I was trying to check.
Is it on Twitter too?
Yeah. I am. We are on Twitter, but. Sorry about that. We're not seeing the chat. Steve, can you
monitor
the chat from your side and we'll just talk about it? We can't post it, but I don't know why that's happening.
Yeah, what I'm going to do
that's too bad.
I'm going to keep it playing and I'll keep the sound down. I'll just turn 2 seconds, guys. Sorry. Turning that off.
Great. I got to hear myself talk.
Yeah, sorry. So we've got Mike Schramm's in the chat. Stephen Atz there. Carl Ellsworth, the Carl Ellsworth is in the chat. Oh, yeah. Who's already come up with a good idea, a good name for the pen, the Bright Style Pen.
Man, I got to get him one, you know, being our writer.
Yeah, Yeah, well, quite. Yeah, you're just going to need it. Yeah, 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 yeah. And then if it's dark, you can use the thing.
I'll get them too. The torch.
Yeah. I'll Stephen get them too. Stephen Atz says he's waving. Oh. Oh man. Yeah. Oh. Okay. We'll yeah. keep an eye on it. That's great that's, stuff.
No, well, great. That's I'm sorry. It's like if I didn't seem 100% engaged, I was kind of trying to figure out that issue.
Yeah.
While I'm doing my first ever commercial, I'm trying to problem solve. Not good. Not good. Well, the enthusiasm goes way down.
Well, I'll keep an eye on the chat through YouTube, yeah. and Thank I'll try you. Not to stare at myself at while I'm doing it, which is a bit weird. Yeah. But yeah, yeah, so keep sure. the chats coming, guys. And hi to Carl, who's joining for the first time tonight, and everyone else, of course. Take a bow, Mike Schramm, for your yeah. international marketing endeavors.
Yeah, that was really, really cool, Mike. So let me see. How did I? There it is. All right. Let me take out a couple of these. Let's get to, let me get there. We'll get going on HT experiences here. Mm-hmm. I'm having a little trouble back here. All right, here we go. All right. Now, why aren't I seeing it? All right. Are we ready to get, we have to get to this stuff right away. Because as we were joking about before, this could be the entire show. So what do we got? What do we got coming up first? Huh, guys? What else? John Wick 4. We got to go spoiler free, but right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most people have
I mean,
it.
He no? kills a bunch of people.
Yeah. Oh, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, this is one movie. I mean, even Steve, I think, would agree, is not meant to be watched on your phone. As much as we just introduced this, Steve, please. I know.
I've now got to stand. I mean, come
I
on.
I know.
You're promoting it.
And it's like, Steve's like, ooh, I don't even have to go into the cinema room anymore. I can just prop it up on my phone.
Done.
Yeah. So I guess, Steve, did you like this? Because this is an awfully close up.
Yeah, this I was gonna get one of his
Did
like
you
his
bump
eyeball.
Your head on the screen.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I mean, obviously that's a steal from the film. It's a thing.
I know.
But I was gonna get a photo of his eyeball and then just yeah. say that'll show you how much I liked it. Just for anybody listening for the first time, by the way, Deej a couple of weeks ago said that he can tell whether I like a film or not by how far back I am when I take the photo of the screen. So
what was the movie? It was
Shazam, Fury of the Gods, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was like, and I even zoomed in on that just to get it. Yes. If I showed you the actual picture he sent, it was literally like League of Their Own, the second baseman. Hey, way back, like.
Oh man, no, it's crazy. But yeah. But yeah, so what have we seen it on? Then you've seen it on Kaleidoscape 4K, and John, you yes. and I have seen the 4K disc.
Yes,
yeah, you right. both have seen the 4K disc. This is, and John's got that one. Now, how is this working? Do you guys get different?
It's just a rolling. It's video credits, mm-hmm. so there's no still yeah, yeah. menu there.
Okay, yeah.
So we just yeah. shot different. Parts of the
still yeah. which is pretty yeah. cool yeah hmm. It is kind of funny, like you don't really need the title, you know what disc you put in, right so it's
right it's only sense. It's only irritating because we have to take pictures of them,
we have a show.
Otherwise I like it, obviously I like it more.
I hate when bad things happen to good people, you know,
right?
You try but yeah, so who wants to start off?
What's to say? Should we do the movie first, then let's talk about the film? So, because I think this is now the first time all three of us have been together and have seen it all together. Because, John, mm-hmm. you saw it in the cinemas, didn't you, or theaters? You
I
saw it there.
Did, yes.
And then DJ and I saw it at home. Yeah, in theater rooms.
Yeah.
And you thought quite a lot of it, didn't you, John, in the theaters? You really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it. I'll say again what I said then. I felt it long. And again, by the time you get to the fourth installment of a franchise like this, you're starting to ramp things up to a level of absurdity that starts to get a little hard to swallow. But I mean, it's a John Wick movie. It's an action film. I mean, it just bangs when it comes to the
whole
theater. So, yeah. But yeah, I liked the movie. I just felt like if he killed 20 less people in every scene, we could have shaved 30 minutes off of this and not really lost a whole bunch. So,
yeah, I might go back to my cake analogy. It's like, you know, someone gives you an entire chocolate cake and you're thinking, oh, this is great. And after sort of three or four slices, you start to feel a little bit unwell. And then after about three quarters of it, you're thinking, I've had enough now. I think it's fantastic. I'm loving it, but I'm feeling a little bit ill. And there are definitely scenes in this that feel like this is the, okay, we get the message. The stairs thing, you know, the 222 steps. You know, so the person that I watched it with a couple of days ago said, he's gone to the bottom again. Right. Yeah.
My wife rolled her eyes in the theater. I could see her rolling her whole head. It's like, oh my God. And the best part is, like, we have 3 minutes and somehow he fights his way back to the top again.
That's it. It is, you can have too much of a good thing. And I think there is a little bit of that creeping in here. I mean, but it is still never less than entertaining. I mean, as much as I'd say that, you know, you feel a little bit sick, I was never bored. Not even for a second. You know, you're never looking at it thinking, oh God, can we get to the next fight, please? Because it's kind of one big fight. As a film, it never fails to entertain. And I'm told,
so then what's the problem?
Well,
just answered, you came full circle on your entire analogy, right? So imagine if somebody said, you can have the entire cake and not feel sick afterwards. But you just said it's entertaining the entire time. So if you're in the middle of being entertained, you say, stop entertaining me so much. That's what I felt at the end of the movie. I was like, yes, when he goes back down the stairs, I laughed. I wasn't upset. I was like, oh my God, this is so fun. Like, they are going over the top. But I also feel, let me throw this in. I think I told you guys this last week at the after show. It is well grounded compared to like the later Fast and Furious movies, because they try to ground it in the way that, hey, like the suits stop the bullets. So you see him do this, you know, he pulls his suit up and dodges bullets. But so it's not like, otherwise, if they didn't have that suit thing, these gunfights would be over like that. Right. So they find creative ways to try and ground it a little bit. He's not a superhero. He's not bulletproof. He's just supposed to be really good at a really absurd thing. And each movie got worse and worse, but more extravagant,
over the top.
But I think that's the fun. It was just, like you said. It'd be one thing if after 3 hours you were like, you know, like G. Cornell actually agreed with you and he said he was nodding off.
I mean, I will say, I was never bored, but I really would have loved to see 30 minutes less of this movie. Like, I would not have complained at all. That's not to say I was bored or that I wasn't entertained, but like the days of, you know, 2 hour movies in the theaters just don't exist anymore. Like, I just don't think we need to be in the theaters for like 4 hours, you know, cause you have to sit through 30 minutes at the beginning before these things even start. And then, you know, at home, it's a little different cause you can take it in chunks or you can pause it and go have dinner or go to the bathroom or do whatever. But you know, like these 3 and 4 hour theater. And this just felt like it didn't need to be that long. It wasn't like Lawrence of Arabia where it was just story, you know?
I mean, I understand from Chad Stahelski, the director, that there is a 4 hour cut of this.
Yeah.
There's an entire subplot cut out. There are entire characters that are cut that didn't make it, that are going to be put back into this 4 hour plus cut, which you know is going to come to theaters and then it's going to come.
I'm going to have to buy this movie again because if it's plot and characters and story, I'm in for it. If it's just killing 30 more people in every scene, I don't need to see that, you know?
Right.
So we have some cross-section of opinion in the chat, guys. So we've got Carl. Carl says that he agrees that it's one of the few movies that's allowed to be 3 hours long. So, you know, fair play. And then we've got Chris Brown, who says that John Wick 4 was great. And the overhead interior scene was fantastic. More about that in a moment, I suspect. Yep. But we've got Mr. Motown, who says the movie definitely made me sick. Didn't enjoy it.
Ooh. Okay, Oliver Stone.
Yeah, Oliver Stone didn't like it.
Yeah, no. Sounds just like Oliver there. Yeah. Not to belittle your comment, but...
Yeah. Yeah, Carl says he recommends the behind-the-scenes featurette on the Arc de Triomphe traffic circle shootout. I mean, I'm sure that... Yeah, I haven't seen any of the special features.
No.
I must admit. That looked kind of crazy. But yeah, no, it is a good film. It's of a piece. It's exactly like the other three, but moved to that nth degree, as you said. It definitely ramps up the stakes. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. But I do think, I agree. I think this could have been a mini series. You know, we could have, and I would have enjoyed it just as much, if not more. Cause it does feel at the end like just how much more have I got? How many more people? I do think you can have too much of a good thing. It doesn't necessarily mean it's you know, it's terribly bad, but it is odd. Can you guys still hear me, by the way?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got
my screen's gone completely now, which is very strange.
Your lighting is gone. Yeah. Let me read this. Oh, we got this. What did you guys think of this? A John Wick 4 error. He says, this is G. Cornell. He says, just before the fight scene in Paris, the lady at the mic says, paint him red. And the music that follows is paint it black. Because seemed odd when I watched it. Did you have a similar reaction?
And I said, thought she was just playing off of the song, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I thought the same thing. I was like, paint it black. What? Because I was singing it out, but I thought just like him, but I'm like, yeah, it's just fun. I didn't think it was an error. I did think the same thing as him, though. I did actually think that. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Stephen Att just says in the chat, he says, I can't make it through 3 hours in the theater. I need that bathroom break by 2 hours 15. It's a home theater benefit.
Yeah. I made it through the whole thing. No problem.
Are we now comparing bladder control?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't. I about 2 hours in, I need a break. So,
Deej, can we have some Bright Side home theater diapers? I think that's what we really need. Can we have things on that? And with lights on as well, with lights.
Yeah. We put the logo. You're either going to, I mean, I don't want to do an either thing on it.
I have no idea where you balance your phone. But anyway, that's fine. We'll have to work on that. But that, you know, that could be useful to everyone. Yeah, Stephen Hatt says logo depends. It's got to be done. It's got to be done. But yeah, I mean, I like I said, I just think it feels like an opulent feast where there's just so much of it. Doesn't mean what you're eating is not very nice, but there's only so much you can have. But yeah, so that's the movie. Yeah.
For the committed theater goer.
It's like Teacher's imagination has been captured.
Yeah.
The committed theater goer.
I'm picturing it with like a cup holder on one side and a popcorn holder on
the other. I'm not sure where the cup should be.
Yeah.
It'd be like, I'm ready to go.
Get on it, man. Get designing, Deej. Come on.
Guy's been here for 5 hours.
It's the opposite of the beer can hat. Right? It goes the other way. Put in a tube and it goes the other way.
Just see them waddling out of the theater of a really long film, you know.
Yeah.
Just 48 ounces of Diet Coke. The Lord of the Rings triple feature, and I'm ready to go.
The whole pack ready. Goodness me.
Getting wrinkly down there.
Yeah. Dear.
All right. So, back to John Wick. Talk about over the top.
Yeah. Well, we're on the bottom.
Exactly. Over the top, under the belt.
Yeah, yeah, so home theater then. So we all like the film. No one's saying they don't like it apart from Mr. Motown, which, you know, which is fair enough. I mean, you know, again, you're with Oliver Stone. He didn't like it either. He said it was just stupid and meaningless. Just didn't get it, that he really. But then again, he's a combat vet. So I imagine that, you know, it's a different thing, isn't it? Now, in terms of home theater, I mean, are we all agreed on the R word that this is reference?
Yes.
Audio and video?
From the first
second. It's got to be, hasn't it?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any sensible argument to say otherwise. I mean, I've got a just the one timestamp, Deej. It's from second one to the last second. So I've got those. So that's my timestamp. So that was easy. It didn't take me long to write that down.
Yeah. At least you narrowed it down to 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, what struck me about the picture's beautiful. But it enhances what is already gorgeous production design.
Right.
I mean, this has been lit like you would not believe it. The locations on this are ridiculously good. I mean, that shot, again, this is all spoiler free, you know, but the shot down the hallway of that ornate, palace in, I mean, it looks like the Palace of Versailles, but I don't know if it is that. And you know, the lighting, the detail from the roof on the ceiling and all that stuff is just ridiculously gorgeous to look at. And the whole film just seems to be that way. You know, even again, throwaway shots like you're showing there, you know, of the detail, you can see the pores on her nose. You can see you know, the sheen on the lips. You can see that the individual details of the, and that's the flipping loading screen.
Yeah.
You know, that's not even the movie. I mean, it looks better in the film. So it looks incredible. And the only thing that is better than that is the audio. But what I found most interesting about the audio is it, I mean, it's as bombastic as anything, isn't it? I mean, again, minute one, second one, as soon as this is right at the beginning. So as soon as that first fist hits the board, the whole room rearranges itself. You know, the cat never gets seen again. And you know, you have various sort of Richter scale warnings going off. It's bombastic as anything. But what struck me about it, and I've only watched it once in the cinema room, I'm going to watch it many, many, many more times, is the little subtle things that leapt out to me. There is a bit in, again, spoiler free, towards the beginning, where there is a fight in the hotel in Japan. Mm. I think, again, that's not a spoiler because that's in the trailer, where Donnie Yen, it's that man again.
Yeah.
It has a gun and he's shooting it. Is it an AR-15? I don't know. A machine gun. I'm British. I don't know guns. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's shooting a machine gun of some form. And as he leaps across the screen, he's shooting towards the camera and he is still firing as he goes across the screen and goes off to, well, my left, camera right, I suppose. And the gun sound pans across the room as he slides. And that was a really nice, subtle little effect. But it moved off. Most movies would have kept that front and center, but it goes with him off the screen, which I thought was great. And there's another bit where, John Wick is going to see someone and is being suspended in some way. And you can hear the rope in the ceiling overhead, and you can hear it behind as well, creaking and moving, which I thought was great. And also a fun little scene where he takes off his jacket and you can hear the slugs that have hit the thing falling on the ground, which I thought was a very funny little throwaway audio cue. I thought that was great.
It happened with all the layers. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
you could hear it like the ting, 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 and then he took off the vest. It was like ting, 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 ting.
It's like, great. It's such a funny thing.
They kind of moved as well.
Yeah.
It was, the audio. Yeah. What else? Did you have anything else?
Yeah. So whilst you've got, as I said, this is why I think this is reference is because you get the bombast, you get the force and you get the power, but you also get the little subtle effects as well. And I love how that all plays together in such a, you know, long film. That's why I think not only is the audio, video, but also the audio is reference. Tell me what you guys think and I'll shut up.
Well, to balance that, I like the video part. For a John Wick movie, and this is one of the reasons I went back and watched the first one, was I wanted to see, probably two extremes here. They had no budget really on the first one, and now you see them with a budget. And what's the director's name again?
Chad Stahelski.
There you go. He was I listened to him after I saw the movie on he was on Rogan, Joe Rogan's podcast, and just talking about everything. What was really great is that I had heard him after I saw four, and the entire time watching four, my son and I are sitting there and I'm like, there's another shot and another, and I'm just talking picture quality. And I was like, there is one shot that I want to take and turn into an oil painting and hang it and be like outside my theater. And you wouldn't know it's a shot from John Wick. And to duplicate the colors and everything that they did there, it's so artistically shot, this entire movie. The colors, the vibrancy, the gradations, the hues that they put, they overlay in this, and the 4K, the HDR, it just brings all of that out to you. And it's, I mean, him, you know, his hair, the dark suits, everything, the contrast against the neon, just like it, like we were saying in that picture. It's not neon, but these are the pictures. This is what this entire movie looks like. And you want to say it's over the top, but it's like, it's hard to describe. It's like, I want to say it's like high contrast color, because when you think of high contrast, it dips really fast into the dark, into the light, but it's not that. It's just how vibrant everything was through the movie and how well shot it was. And you look at some of the cityscapes that they showed and it of anywhere, but it just, it, the entire time you're looking at the screen, and that's why I was like, at 250, you go back through this, you aren't bored, especially when you go back through it a second time and you look at other things that you didn't notice the first time. There's so much to take in with this movie. And that's why I think it's referenced. It's like the picture quality is so good on this action thriller, you know, guys movie, shoot 'em up guy movie, you know? And it's like, how well shot it was is amazing to me. And then to hear the director say, he's like, I love color. That's what he said on Rogan. He's like, I just love color. He goes, I just wanted to really utilize that. And I love to manipulate it and all. And I was like, oh my God. And it's like, it really all came. I mean, when you watch them all, I think two, you see it more, three, definitely. And then in four, it's like the culmination, but there, go back and watch the first one and you'll see he's kind of just getting his feet wet. It's like he was, and like I said to you guys last week, he was a stuntman. He was, he was Keanu Reeves' stuntman in The Matrix. And now he's directed these four movies, starting with the John Wick, and they had no budget on that and nobody wanted it. They were having trouble finding somebody to take it because they're like, who's going to want to see this? It's like, so, and now,
and over $1 billion later. Yeah, no, so, it's awesome, isn't it? It's very cool.
Yeah.
What did you make of the audio at home, John?
I mean, I don't have anything to add different than you. I just agree. I mean, I think it was reference start to finish. You know, you've mentioned the fists on the boards at the beginning, some of the other scenes you mentioned, but the overhead shot, the scene with the
Dragon's breath.
Dragon's breath.
That was,
I mean,
it.
Those things. Yeah, those things were awesome. You know, I mean, the sound every time he fired one of those things off was crazy. I mean, I'm not as eloquent as either of you guys, but I can't disagree or agree strongly enough with everything you guys said. So,
yeah that even dragon's even breath. Joe Rogan was like, oh my God, talk about over the top. And then he told him, he goes, those are real. He goes, what? Well,
they're incendiary rounds. I mean, they're, you know, it's been around a while, I think. And I don't know anything about guns. We've established that.
They don't go through you though. They won't go through you. No. They embellished on that part, but they, especially with a bulletproof vest, but
they'll get you a bit hot under the collar though.
Oh yeah.
And they're a flaming nuisance.
That overhead shot of him, it was like a video game. And they purposefully, I think I never heard this anyway, but I think he purposely was like, let's make it look like a video game, like we all do. And it's like, he even was like walking into the rooms and looking around and then picking up guns, grabbing more clips like you do in a video game when you're playing third person video game. And you're like,
just wasn't stepping on any health potions or anything. So.
Yeah. The only thing we didn't get to hear was like Mario or something. Like, oh, he got coins. He got more of those coins. But yeah, I thought that was because of the way the movie flows. You get to that part. And again, the movie's over the top, but as soon as that camera pans up like that, after everything else you've been taking in, now all of a sudden it is a guy's movie. Like, you just like, all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, it's like I'm playing John Wick video game. And it's like, shoot that guy. And he turns and shoots him. And you're like, what if you felt like you were in control?
See, I'm not sure that it is a guy movie as such. Not as, I mean, we had Bloodsport the other day, didn't we? We had things like, you know, Raging Fire and those kinds of movies, which are really, we call them really blokey kind of movies. Really, they are quite maybe male focused because the women seem to be in these movies there just to look pretty, and they don't actually do anything, and the guys do all this. And
yet, Halle Berry in these movies, pretty good.
This is what I mean about Bloodsport and that kind of thing. Whereas in these movies, actually, I don't think they are. I think they the reason you get to $1 billion plus is because it actually appeals to more than just, you know, the male demographic, actually spreads across. And I know a number of women that have seen this film and love it. Absolutely love it. And really? Are bigger fans than, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I think the appeal of these movies is wider.
All of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think this is wider than that. Cause that's how you get to $1 billion. You can't do that if the movie's just for guys. You know, there's not enough of us.
Well, I'm just saying, like, he even said when they set out to make these, it was like, guys, what are guys like? And he's like, dogs,
maybe
cars,
John Wick 1.
Guns, and music, you know? And it's like, and that's what they all are. Mm. And then like this one, you got the car, he's like brought the car back, or he had the car back. And I agree with you that it's, that's how you get to $1 billion, by appealing to a lot of, you know, a wide market. But it's not beaches.
No. Well, that is true. That is true. But you do get a lot of like really good female characters. Say Halle Berry was fantastic in that. I kept expecting there to be a link between her and Tracker in this. I couldn't get why they'd do exactly the same thing and not be linked in some way. I kept expecting something to come out to say, oh, it's son, partner, brother, you know, whatever it might be. That's the only thing that's slightly, I was just expecting that was going to happen and it doesn't. Oh, the other thing, there is one note of criticism I do have, very slightly. Bill Skarsgård is a fantastic actor and he's very, very good in it. And he's very capable. He's also one of the better things about Barbarian that we talked about a while back. But his French accent, is a sort of comedy French accent that I don't know why they didn't just get a French actor in for that. Either make him American or whatever his normal accent is, or bring in a French actor, because his talk about the rules is not very convincing. I just expect he was going to get a beret and a striped vest and a baguette or something at some point, because it was just very, very, very broad, shall we say. So I did have a slight issue with that. He doesn't have loads of dialogue, which is good news. But when he's doing his talking at the beginning, I was beginning to think, oh, come on. You know, this is a bit Clouseau. Where's the Pink Panther? So, you know, I thought he was going to have a pet minky.
Do you find that an issue, John? I think that's in this
is
country,
that a European
thing? I think it's European.
Well, it might be, but I mean, I didn't bump into it as much as Steve, but I did. I didn't think it was authentic at all. I mean, no. I could tell that it wasn't natural.
I would have thought there are some fantastic French actors out there. Why not bring in one of those to do it if he's got to be French? But anyway,
he didn't have to be anything. That's the whole point.
No, exactly.
He could have been anything. Quite. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he doesn't do anything specifically French, does he? Other than he lives in France, apparently. But even then he seems to bounce around the globe. So yeah, I'm not quite sure what the thought process was there, but you know, it's a minor critique of a very, 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 very good film and disc. So yeah, Chris Brown, by the way, has come up with the Brightside catheter, Deej. So, you know, it's the other option.
Jeez.
We've got a whole collection here, mate. We're going to end up with a Brightside Zimmer frame, a Walker, you know. We'll have a, you know, Brightside sleeping pillow in the...
That's still just a pen. It's not a catheter.
Brightside pudding bowl. Brightside pudding dentures. Bowl. It'll be all there. Jello.
God. All right. Anything else on this?
Other than everyone listening that doesn't have it needs to buy it straight away.
Yeah. Yes. This is definitely a must own.
Oh, tell me this. Do you stream it then? Do we suggest streaming it?
Great question. If you're not collecting physical, absolutely.
But if you can. If
for the best possible version, yeah, definitely. For the best possible, no. But
you'll get quite the thump in the bass if you stream it. I think the visuals will be comparable. The
visuals will be, yeah.
You know, the streams always seem to look really nice. We've said it before. I'm not saying anything new. It's the sound, you know, that seems to be lacking.
I wonder if it'll struggle a bit with the gradations of the coloring and stuff as well. This seems like a movie that's very, very, a movie of color. As you said, you know, and extremes from light to dark in the same frame and giving it that three-dimensional sort of look. And I wonder if there are streams will cope with that or whether you're going to get a lot of pixelation and a lot of kind of noise in the image.
I was just going to say, I think so much of the experience of this movie is the audio, though. So, you know, that's the one thing you don't want to be lacking.
Right.
So I would think that you'd want to buy physical if you buy physical. You know, right. Like DJ said, if you only ever stream anyway, then.
Yeah. I've told people, like I told Greg, you know, Megan Greg, I'm like, don't get into physical yet because you don't know what you're missing. So, and they don't have a system to hear the difference, to get the difference. They don't have that kind of system. So it's a loaded question because. Is physical, is the 4K disc, we talked about this online, this or on Twitter this weekend, about the difference between Blu-ray, 4K, streaming, and it's like, most people don't have the ability to even see the difference between 4K and Blu-ray, because it's not that big of a difference when you go, you know, 65 inches and below for the resolution. The HDR is a difference. But even at that, if you don't know what you're looking for, how many people I've seen, we all have these stories growing up. People don't know. They think they're seeing the best version, and it's actually a distorted version of the other one, a la 1080p when it first came out. People were stretching the televisions. So if you have a system that can take care of the 4K, that you can see the difference, you know it. You know, and it's like you've spent a lot of money to get there. I can't, but the stream on this is great. Streaming is great right now, but it's another level to say like, well, you have to get the 4K on this. And it's, I just have a hard time answering that question because it depends on the system you have.
Yeah, fair enough. But I think if you can get it, and again, I think you're right. Yeah. And again, but look, if there's ever a sort of question for a John Wick film, a loaded one is an appropriate sort of question. it's a proper caliber.
I don't have my suit on. I didn't dodge it appropriately.
Yeah. Just start doing this. well, we'll have bulletproof bright side diapers. I forgot what I was saying now. It's just going off. But yeah, so I think, you know, I think you're right. If you've got the system to take advantage, he's got his pen out. Look, any chance to plug the pen? right. So next week we'll have the diapers.
Well, here we are talking all about it. Look at us go.
It's only a plug if you sell it, though, Steve. DJ's allergic to money.
Yeah, that's true. That is
true. He's just giving everything away.
That's it.
John Pfeiffer in the Dominican wanted to buy a t-shirt, but DJ's just sending him one.
Yeah, yeah. Send me the link for the t-shirt. Oh, I'll send you one. Don't worry.
Yeah. This is crazy. You got people run. Hey.
I'm going to go to the Dominican so I can get a free shirt real quick.
Tens of listeners around the world are planning their meetups so they can get free t-shirts.
And you know you'll be sending them.
At the beach, he'll send us crap.
Yeah.
Tens of people.
Yeah. No, man. But no, it's a cool disc. And I think if you can get it, you've got the system to take advantage, do it. And if not, then you know, that's fine. But it is a great movie. And I'm wondering, spoiler-free, whether we'll have a 5. I imagine we will somehow, some way, because again, $1 billion ain't enough for Lionsgate.
It's not a spoiler. There's already a talk of a spin-off. series. Yeah, well,
it's filming. Well, it's been filming the Continental and Ballerina.
The Continental and Ballerina. And then, I mean, you guys saw the end credit scene, I'm assuming. So,
no. Is there an end credit scene?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There is an end credit scene. There is an end credit scene, which I won't spoil, but that definitely sets up either a spinoff or John Wick 5. So,
I'll have to watch that later.
Yeah.
So, there is.
I mean, it's end credit, right? If I remember.
Yeah, all the way at the end. Yeah. So just fast forward to the end of the credits.
Can I just check? Is it Patrick Stewart?
No.
Just one. Okay, fine. Just sort of.
Well, that's a spoiler in itself. Now you know who it is. One person out of the billions on the planet you know isn't in it.
You know who it is not. It's not Patrick Stewart.
Right. So, all right. I told you we could do an hour on John Wick.
Yeah, I know. Well, no, we did an hour. Not just true. John Wick. We also talked about
the pen.
Diapers.
The pen. You're right, John. I've never promoted anything more than this, and it's free.
I know. It does this, and it does this, and it's a light, and it, you know, cooks your dinner.
How much can I get this for? Nothing.
Right. Nothing. Nothing. It's free. Just
all you gotta do is
send a self-addressed stamped envelope.
No. By the way, guys, Omar is in the chat. So hi, Omar. Hope you're doing okay,
Omar,
buddy.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah. Nice one. Again, just for those that might have joined in whilst we've been chatting, because we have got quite a few people in the chat, actually. We can't see the comments on our normal screen for reasons we know not. So I'm kind of monitoring it on YouTube. So they're a little bit slower than normal and we can't put them on the screen. So just in case people are thinking we're ignoring them.
Yeah.
I mean, we are, obviously, right. But we're just trying to ignore them.
Well, DJ and I are.
Sorry, I didn't even hear what you were saying.
He's ignoring us too, Steve.
I was trying to figure out if I could find a way to get them to work. And
that's weird, isn't it? Yeah. We've never had this before. It's odd, isn't it? No. There we go. No.
I'm wondering.
We're gentlemen of a certain age. We're having performance issues. These things happen.
That's why we have the pen.
And some rubber bands. Family show, kids. Come on. Yeah. Sorry.
I know.
Oh, Dad, God. You're going to get a lot of mileage out of that pen, man.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. What are we going to... Guys, come on. We're supposed to be professional
focus.
Here.
Yeah, focus. Focus. Lock it down.
Let's stop having so much fun. Yeah. So let's bring this back to a family show. Steve?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do this quickly because we have talked about this a lot. And I'll do it fast. So this is Super Mario Brothers, the movie. You may have heard of it. And this was on 4K disc with Dolby Atmos. And I had to import this from the good old US of A, because it does not come out here until the end of July. So I couldn't wait. So I love the movie. It is still one of my favorite films of this year. I think it's my favorite animated movie of the year so far of the ones I've seen. Even though it skews really young and I am far too old for it, I still think it's great fun and I really like it. So let's come to the HT side of it. So the video, DJ, as I was watching this, as I put this on, I could hear your voice as I was watching it. Because I remember you saying, when I saw the screener, I was saying, oh my God, this is going to look amazing. This is going to be HDR heaven and it's going to look fantastic. And I remember you being actually very, very, well, not very reserved, but actually a little bit reserved about the quality of its video. And as I was watching it, I was thinking, you are 100% right. It does. It has it. It has.
That's
at times,
it for this week, everybody.
Yeah, wrap up. There you go. Down. Get your pets. Diapers at the door. Because at times it looked. I remember you saying that it looked at times like there was almost like noise in the image and stuff like that. And you realize when you look at it, that's atmospherics. That's deliberate. It's smoke and it's stuff. And that was disappointing to me when I first saw it. Cause I was looking at this, the snow at the very beginning and it looked like noise. It looked like digital noise. And I was thinking, oh my God, what was going on? And only when you look closely, you see it is the snow and it's smoke, as you said. But that was disappointing for me. And I was thinking, oh, I really want this to look pristine and look amazing. So initially I was a little disappointed in how it looked, but it gets better and better the more it goes on. And I think you adjust to it. And I did. And by the time you get to the Rainbow Road sequence, it looks gorgeous. And then the whole ending looks fantastic. With the colors just leap off the screen. So that's really good. The audio is again, you were right. It's solid. It's okay. It's not demo worthy. I'm not going to go and dig this out. If someone says, oh, show me what you're, you know, rearrange the room for me. Show me what, you know, what Cinema George can do. I'm not going to put this on. Not for that. Not unless they're very young kids. Because I don't, cause it's not, it's, it doesn't go super deep. It doesn't absolutely throw everything at you in a, for surround. And so that's a little disappointing, but overall I really enjoyed it and I'm glad I imported it. I didn't want to wait. I'm going to see this film hundreds of times because I do like it. You know, again, I know it's not for me, but I really like it. I'm way too old for this stuff and yet I still really enjoyed it. So I'm glad I imported it. It's well worth getting. If you like the film and you've got, again, you've got the system to take advantage of it, then I would get it. It is fun. But not the transformative experience I was hoping for in 4K, but you know, that's fine. It's just the nature of the film. Yeah. I don't think it's not a disc authoring error or anything like that. I think it's just the movie. You know, there it is. So I agree exactly in every way with what you said.
Thank you.
I got it.
Thank you. And I mean, it's, Puss in Boots was better. I thought Sonic 2 was better than.
Yeah, that's not
Puss
animated
Boots.
Though. Can we call that animated?
Well, I mean, the Sonic animation parts action. Of it though, but the audio in Sonic 2 is just just crazy, right? Puss in Boots audio was crazy, and their animation.
Yeah.
But it was like maybe Mario Brothers was like too bright. Like the entire thing, like it's tough to, I mean, if everything's really dark, you have no contrast. If everything's really bright, you have a lack of contrast. You need that, the dynamics of going between the two. And maybe this one was just so bright and vibrant, like the video game, you know?
Yeah.
It was, I thought, detailed enough. I mean, and to say it's not reference isn't just, I mean, it's no slouch. It's fantastic, but it's just, but I thought one of the details I liked was when you went into their world, it was, you felt like there was a switch in the the image, like almost more video game like. And when you came out, it was, you could see the different textures and stuff that they use. Like there was less, I don't know if it's gradation, but pixelation or something like that. It looked smoother. Like, so I noticed stuff like that. But so there is some good detail in it.
Yeah, there is. You can see texture on Mario's hat. You know, you can see that they've actually put a texture on it and his moustache and all that stuff. So it's all there, but it's just not, I mean, it's not to the level of Puss in Boots at all.
No, but I meant like the texture was like the bit rate. Like, you know how video games got better? I remember noticing like, ooh, this is like an older version of the game or the game. And then when they came out, when they weren't in the game area or doing it, something, it, you know what I mean? Like the bit rates changed. Almost like going from 1080 to 4K and then back, and you could see the difference and stuff like that. So, there's a lot to take in. And what's fun about it is, if you do have kids and you want to watch a home theater movie, there's enough there for the home theater enthusiast to sit through and enjoy this multiple times while they're watching it with their kids.
Yeah, you know? That's right. So, and it is one of those movies that does skew young, so anyone can watch this and not be, you know, worried about right. it. Whereas Puss in Boots, I think we said, I mean, could be absolutely petrifying dark. For yeah. younger kids. So yeah, but it's my favorite animated movie of this year. Puss in Boots, I still think of as last year. So this is my animated yeah. film of this year so far. But I haven't seen Elemental yet, mind you. Based on the box office, I don't think anybody has.
Whoa! Back the truck up there. What do you consider Across the Spider-Verse?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, forgot that one. Okay, yeah, all right then.
Well, animated? You have to wait yeah. to get it at home and see, right?
Well, okay. I'm going to have to see it again anyway, because I'm still not sure of that last 20 minutes exactly what happened. So I think I will do in the fullness of time. But all right, so yeah, damn. Okay, you got me there. All right, Across the Spider-Verse has got to be then, hasn't it? And then this one.
yeah.
But like I said, I haven't seen Elemental, and I hear it's very good, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. As I said, very few people have so far. So I'm looking forward to trying that out, because I've heard very good things. So, you know, we will see.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Let's pull that one down. I will go with John. You don't have anything else, right?
I don't have anything home theater wise. I feel I will be remiss if I don't mention The Bear real quick, because I tweeted about it all week long. I know you don't have you a slide for image. It. Yeah. Well, I wasn't necessarily planning on talking about it, but The Bear season 2 dropped on Hulu on the 22nd, last Thursday, I guess. I devoured it in a day and a half. Yeah, absolutely my favorite show of the year. I really liked season 1. Season 2 was elevated twofold, at least, for season 1. I know a couple of people, Danny Speakers and Omar and Tom Bellos also were watching it and commenting on it. But this was so well written, so well acted. Jeremy Allen White is the star. You may not be familiar with him. He played Lip on Shameless for 100 years, if you watched Shameless. Had some great cameos, guest spots here. Jamie Lee Curtis was in an episode or two, and she was fantastic. Bob Odenkirk makes an appearance. He's fantastic. You guys definitely watch this show if you haven't watched it.
What's it about?
DJ's out. I mentioned that it's a bit stressful, so DJ's not going to watch it.
I tapped out.
He's a chef, so it's restaurant based, and the stress comes from that. It's just the stress of being in the kitchen of a restaurant, and kind of what goes on behind the scenes. But it is very, like I said, I'm not going to go on forever about it, but it's very well written, very well done. And like I said, I've seen some good shows this year. Ted Lasso comes to mind. Probably would have been my top, but this I thought was better. Season 2 was better than this year's Ted Lasso. It was just great. So that's all I have to say about that.
I wonder if it'll be on Disney Plus for us over here then, because we don't have Hulu.
So I did see a lot of people on Twitter talking about you should have season 1 available wherever, probably Disney Plus. Season 2 doesn't drop in the UK or overseas for another 2 or 3 weeks. So far it's only dropped here in the States, I think, but everybody else gets it sometime in July. But yeah, that gives you time to watch season 1. If you haven't. So
did you guys check out that there was a film on Netflix with Stephen Graham where he plays a chef? It was actually done a whole film in one take. Did you guys see that? If not, I will try and find the thing of it. And that's set in a kitchen where all hell is breaking loose, and it's kind of, and that's an exercise in stress, that film. Let me see if I can just, while we're talking about it. So have you seen this, Deidre? You're not gonna do that. Let me just see if I can find it. Sorry, guys. Let me just see if I can find it super quick, because it's on Netflix as well. So you guys should be able to get it. But I can't remember what the name of it was. So let me just try and find out. Sorry, guys, in the chat. I'm just coming off the stream for a minute. Stephen Graham, where are you? You guys know who I mean by Stephen Graham, don't you? He's been in loads of things. Boiling Point, there it is. Okay. It's called Boiling Point. That's the one. If you guys haven't seen that, it is absolutely crazy. It is a whole movie, so an hour and a half in one single take. It's not, and this is not one where they've fudged it and they've tried to, you know, like 1917 or, you know, or certain movies we've been watching recently, like Extraction 2, that sort of thing. This is a movie done in one take. It's well worth it. Again, it's very stressful, Deej. You might not want to see it, mate. You will be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah. So yeah, it's well done and it's worth watching. You're bound to have it over there, I'm sure.
Well, here it's not free. It's, TV. Apple TV has it for $4.99.
That's the one. That's the one. Did you've got it?
Amazon has, that's 4K. Amazon has the 1080p for $3. Vudu has it for $3.
It'll be worth it, guys. It will be worth, I think you'll enjoy it. Again, it sounds like very much like what you've been describing, but this is all in one go. And as I said, it says there, you see there, you know, tension drenched show. It's all done in one. This is, it's more like a play than a thing, but it's very, very well done. So worth watching. I've only seen it once, but it was enough at the end of that. Cause there are things happening and you're like, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. Please don't let it happen.
Yeah, and it happens. I didn't know his name,
In fact, that's that's looking at that trailer just that you're running there gives a nice approximation as to just how kind of, oh my God, it is. Yeah. All right. Anyway, yeah, very cool. Yeah.
All right. I got one other one for you, John. We can get to in between a couple of Steve's. I only have two more, so. But where did it go? Oh, there it is down there. Things are moving and shaking. I told you about
the pen again. It's not even subliminal, is it?
No,
it's right on front
right
street
there. Yeah.
Nope. All right. I'm gonna stop putting it like right in the corner.
Yeah. While you're doing that, Deej, Omar in the chat, he's with you, John. He says, "Heck yeah, the bear was amazing." What is it with bears this year?
Yeah.
You know, cocaine bear. You know.
Yeah. Lots of bears.
I mean, is there a Care Bear movie coming?
The cocaine, right? I mean, if it just kept going, cocaine hockey player, cocaine baseball player, cocaine chef.
Hey, coming soon, cocaine raccoon. It's a matter of time.
Cocaine bright side. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're doing that one 24
we're
hours.
We're excited enough. Yeah, we're excited enough.
Yeah. Never touch the stuff because I'm afraid I'd like it.
Oh, man, I can't say. I'll leave that to my clients.
From people I know said, yeah, good thing. You would have loved it. So anyways, all right,
you don't need any more.
Don't do drugs.
You don't need drugs, DJ.
I know.
High on life.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I cannot.
Oh boy, imagine I'm toned down for the audience. All right, Mission Impossible. Selling these pens.
Yeah, they'll be flashing in the corner next episode.
You can't buy now. Yeah. I'm giving it away. I'm like Oprah. all right. Mission Impossible 1996. I haven't watched this in a while. I've skipped through it when they came out with the 4Ks and stuff, and it's awesome. Last time I started Mission Impossible was during the movies, that is, was during our Maverick days. And I was just like, oh, I need more Tom Cruise, you know, and I started backwards and I only got like four movies back. But this time, because the movie's coming out in, 12th, supposedly, but it's been bumped up Walmart. You can see it on Sunday now, the 9th. So, yeah, I'm going to get all of these done. So Mission Impossible, 1996. Picture is awesome. I don't think it's ever looked better. It's pretty much right at the 1 hour mark. And we were talking earlier on Mario Brothers and how the screen can, the pixelation and stuff. Well, you know, when you put your phone onto something like your camera onto a television, you can see the scan lines. It's like, amazingly, that stuff doesn't happen in movies. It kind of goes away. Like whatever they do, their cameras are so good or whatever. You don't see that stuff. But at the 1 hour mark, you can actually see like this. I'm pretty sure it's the 1 hour mark. You can see, the scanning of the image that they're looking at. It's just going because it just looks so good. You usually don't see it, and it just, but it's so well shot. And I don't know if it's because it's an older movie from 96. I mean, can you imagine how old? I mean, that's crazy. What's that? Almost 30 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
He's been making these movies.
Yeah.
And it looked awesome. And like I said, it's never, to me, it's never looked this good. And that at 1 hour mark, that's when the computer screen is actually, Ving Rhames's computer screen. It's when they're breaking into Langley. So, the sound on it, awesome, super dynamic, very, very clear dialogue throughout. I'm starting to notice now, I'm starting to pay attention to some movies where it gets a little bit muddied. The way, you know, maybe too much, I don't know if you'd call it too much bass, but some, there was one movie recently, I wasn't reviewing it. I think I was streaming something and I was like, is that my system? But then you put on a movie like this and it's just so crystal clear. You're like, ah, okay, that must have been whatever cut it was that I was watching. Very clear dialogue. Good bass extension, not super over the top, not loosey, anything like that. You're not left wanting for anything at the end. You're not like, oh, I could have used a little more there. At 24:55, you get a car, the car explosion. I mean, the movie's almost 30 years old. Cars explode if you haven't seen it, but it's at the beginning. You know the one I'm talking about. And how, I can't tell you how many times I've seen this movie because I've owned it on Laserdisc, DVD, Blu-ray, 4K, Kaleidoscape now, and all of the, I still went, whoa, that was good. That was a good job. I got to jump out of it. He runs around there, you know, boom, and it, really, really cool. The aquarium explosion, really, really nice. This, I don't know if I've ever noticed before, but the water, when the, you know, if you know the scene, he blows up an aquarium with a stick of gum. You know, like he's like MacGyver, and you know, MacGyver, he got a MacGyver tool like a pen. So, but anyways, so yeah, he blows up the aquarium and the water rushes. I want to say, if I remember right, it rushed from like the center left over you and then back to the rear of the room. Really, I mean, just you, and you could hear it splash behind you as the wave goes by and it goes boosh right behind you. Really, really cool. At 47 minutes, 30 seconds, there's like some scuttling going on and it's like Kittredge. He walks into an apartment. So he's walking down and it was when they were testing the laptop. Right. And they put the disc in and he's like, you got about 2 minutes. Tom Cruise is like, you got about 2 minutes. And they come in. So Kittredge comes in the door and you can hear the agents that have already gotten into the room and they're searching for him. And you hear them just like making noise around and you can hear them off to the sides as he's walking at you. It was really, really cool. And again, like you said, Steve, these are little things that if they're not there, you're just, it's not that big a deal, but in systems, like when you have a system that can take advantage of this, I've said this, I don't know how many times on this podcast, it's like, this is all for us. You know, these little tiny details that most people don't hear. And I love stuff like that. The infamous scene, lowering Tom Cruise, Ethan, down into that vault at 1 hour and 2 minutes, roughly. Listen how quiet that is. But then you can also hear the vents. There's a slight, it's not dead quiet, but you hear the, just a slow, like a small hum of the ventilation in the room. And it's weird that that little noise actually feels like it's more quiet than if there was no noise whatsoever. Right? Like, it's like, you know, you're engaged. You can hear that. And then that also heightens all the other noises, which they're trying to do because he's got to stay in a certain, you know, decibel level, which we are all very, you know, familiar with decibel levels. So he gets lowered down. He does his gymnastics thing, right? And he goes flat at the desk and he reaches out, and I'm pretty sure it's his left foot, but you know, he's got the little ninja shoes on or whatever, and he flips forward and he puts his foot on the desk, but he's where you're looking on your screen, you're seeing the side view of it, and his foot goes out forward and grabs the desk, but it's just to the left of the screen. And that's it is. And again, it is very quiet. And all you hear on the left side of your screen is that like a slipper going poof, onto the desk on the left side of your screen. It's so discreet. It's so like cool, but it's not like a big bang over there. It's a like this little tiny noise that's his sneakers or whatever ninja shoe grabbing the desk to pull him forward. It's so cool. The climatic train scene, really, really, I mean, just awesome. Just the dynamics of it, everything. And I was actually surprised at how well that played. It from the, you know, from the moment he has to go out there because, who's the character that ends up going out first? You can hear the draft as he goes out off to the, I think it's the left or something over your head. It really, really cool. But then I was expecting that scene to play more like, I don't know, Air Force One, some of that. It actually played really well. It looked really good. So, but yeah, that entire scene is just awesome. So highly recommend that. It's, I mean, it looks fantastic. It looks absolutely fantastic. Detail, skin tones, crisp, deep blacks, rich colors. It's just, and for a movie that's almost 30 years old, and now we're going to see another sequel of it soon. Fantastic. Absolutely loved it. You're just nodding over there, Steve.
Yeah, well, I agree. They're all good. And I've got the set as well. I've got them all on disc, on 4K disc, and watched them prior to the last one. Yeah, they are all good. My favorite bit in that movie is the music as you get to that train sequence, and it builds and it builds and it builds, and you don't know you want it until then you get that music, it goes da 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 da, and then it just kicks into that music. And if you don't have a dopey grin on your face when that music kicks in, then something's wrong with you, because I absolutely love that music cue. It has that switches to the Mission Impossible theme. It is just fantastic. And I remember that in the cinema, that's great. And I've seen this movie scores of times. I mean, I dread to think how many times I've seen it. And that bit never fails to amuse and entertain. And as ridiculous as it is, it just sounds great.
Yeah. I actually just mixed up the next movie I'll talk about in a minute. But Mission Impossible, the theme in this. And the tone of this movie, I thought, was the most accurate, and they've gotten further and further away from the show. I felt like in this one here, they tried to shoot some of the scenes similar to the show. You saw a familiarity between the two, and then they've since deviated from that and gone more to the cinematic. This is a new version, but between this one and what I'll talk about in a few minutes, number two, I thought was, you know, they're getting further away, but you could see, I could get the feel that it was from the show. They were like trying to shoot it as an homage to the show too. And then the theme music too.
Well, it's Brian De Palma, isn't it? So of course this is his wheelhouse. I mean, no doubt he would have been a fan of the TV show, and they were trying to bring a big screen version of it. And of course, each director in these has brought their own very unique vision to it. I mean, John Woo with the second one, J.J. Abrams with the third. And then of course, from then on, it's been Macquarie. Clearly they're bringing their own stylistic choices to it. But they're all good. The weakest one is the one you're about to talk about, I think. But they're all fun.
So we'll get to that. We could still hear
you. I'm here. Don't worry. I just
lost your lighting.
It's pretty strange, isn't it? Yeah.
When was the last time you saw Mission Impossible? The first one, John?
It's been a long time. I don't know. I did just pick up the box set recently, but I haven't watched any of them yet. But yeah, I haven't seen any of them in 4K. It's been years since I've watched it. So. I don't know that I'll get them in before the new movie comes out, but
I don't think you'll be lost.
No, I think
yeah, I would sit from the trailers though. I think you ought to watch the first one before you go because there are returning characters from the first one that pop up again that haven't done
the since. One I just watched. You mean the from 96? That first one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's in the trailer. So Kittredge is in the new one.
Oh, okay.
So he's not been heard of since, but he crops up in the yeah. So I think it might be worth. Clearly, they're going to revisit some of the stuff from that. So yeah. I would probably watch the first one.
I'll get a couple of them in before. I just don't know that I'll get all five, six of them in, five of yeah. them, whatever it is.
Come on, you know you can. Give it a go.
I mean, I can. I'm sure, but
all right, let's hit. Well, you got this one last one here, Steve.
Mm-hmm. Are you not going to talk about MIT? You're not going to go through that?
I will.
You'll do that after in a minute. Oh, okay. Yep. All right. So this is Hell or High Water then, on 4K disc, another import from the States because it is not available here. So 4K disc, DTS HD master audio up mixed to Neural X. A film I've talked about a lot recently began specifically on the back of Wind River, having talked about that last week and how much I think we all enjoyed that. And so this was my chance to then revisit this movie again in 4K. Again, I'll be quick. The movie is fantastic. It's such a good movie. It's a modern Western. John, I was so close having watched it to after having watched it to just go, is Texas really like this? Is this really is this what it looks like? Is this real? Is this complete nonsense? I was so close. But then I'm thinking Texas is bigger than the UK combined.
So I'm thinking it's pretty big.
So there's all these different things. So I thought texting it would be just stupid. So I've just outed myself as an idiot on the
definitely
podcast.
Looks like parts of Texas for sure.
Yeah. It just makes it look so. Oh, how do you say? I mean, it's almost it is attractively ugly. I know that's an oxymoron, but it makes Texas look at the same time horrible and yet somewhere you've got to go and see. Right. So the movie's fantastic. It's a really well told story, really, really well developed characters. Everything's there, very somber, and it is definitely a sister or companion piece to Wind River. In terms of home theater, the video is lovely. Everything is smooth. It's a digitally shot film. Everything is smooth. The colors look great. Again, as I say, it looks beautifully ugly. You know, the everything is rusted and decaying. And of course, it's a criticism of financial institutions and the way things have gone in certain parts of the US. I mean, they're saying Texas, but I don't know whether it's, you know, part of that or not. And so everything is decaying and there's detail and you can see all that. And it all looks, again, as I said, beautifully horrible in every way. So it looks great. The audio is a little bit disappointing. I remembered it being better than it was. It's very quiet. There's not a lot going on for most of it. There's quite a nice sort of shootout towards the end, which sounds good. The gunshots have got some presence to them, but again, there's no punch in the chest. There's no, you know, bass rumbles in the seat that I found. But when you do get the shootout at the end, there's some nice directional stuff. There are bullets whipping around the room. And that's quite nice, but I don't think this is a movie, unlike Wind River, which I think they do set out to actually have some really decent audio in that. I think this one is not quite there yet. Oops, I'm gonna hit the mic. So I think
getting excited.
Yeah, well, I really love talking about these movies. And again, I said, John, I'll talk your ears off one day about the whether this is real or not, because I was fascinated. So it's really good. It's a really good disc. It's a fantastic movie. And again, if you're over in the States and you can get it, then I would recommend it. Over here, it's a bit more tricky to recommend because it's expensive to bring it over. But, you know, I'm glad I've got it. So if you're a fan, and you don't mind spending the money over here, then go for it. But over there, I'm sure it's a really sensible price now because it's been out for a couple of years. So really enjoyed it.
I almost bought it when I saw you were watching. I almost bought it.
How many you got it? I thought you already had it on Kaleidoscape.
Do I? I don't know.
I thought I saw it on one of your tiles. Yeah, I thought I saw it.
Oh, but, maybe I do. Maybe I do.
I think you do.
But I meant to watch it, and that's why I was like, if I don't have, because I saw you had it, and I wanted to see it again, and I'm like, ugh. And it is. It it's not, like you said, it's not necessarily a home theater movie, but it's such so well done. But it's I not like John Wick 4, but I mean the imagery is just so well shot.
It's, you know,
it's beautifully framed, yeah, everything, and it's and I'm starting to, as I've said on the show before, it's like, and John as well, it's like we were very sound oriented for most of our home theater careers because that's where the advancements were with our technology. But now the picture has gotten so good, and we have the ability to have larger pictures now compared to 20 years ago, that you can really take in the exact, you know, pretty much exactly what they intended with that large scale and sitting there and going, wow, this is so grandiose, you know? And yeah. I mean, the image that you have, just the tone of it, the monotone of the, you know, the warm, the oranges and the warmth of everything. And that's, it's awesome.
It's a really beautifully smooth image. You know, there's detail in there as well. That's not to suggest it's not, but I was struck by the, you know, at times the sky looks so blue, and you've got the fluffy white clouds and the landscape there. I mean, it does look amazing. So yeah, I mean, there are some incredible cinematographers out there, and we are lucky that we get the bigger screens and we can take advantage of it and enjoy it. Cause I'm not sure this would have been a film to see in the theaters. I think this is one to see at home where you can just engage with it. See this with an audience, someone on their phone, someone talking, someone rustling popcorn or changing their diapers. Yeah. Or, you know, with a pen, you know,
flicking their pens.
Bloody bright siders. Here they are again. you know, so I think if you can, that would break the illusion. Watching this on a big screen in your theater room, or, you know, in your living room, but with, you know, just where you can just let it wash over you, would be fantastic. But I'd be very jealous of you, John, because afterwards, theoretically, you could just go and visit these areas.
I could.
Yeah.
And I honestly just want to know if it's real. I want to go and sit.
Where does it take place? Does it say?
It's all in Texas.
Well, Yeah, Texas is huge.
I know. That's the thing. This is what I've got to get my head around. Yeah. It would be like you saying to me, what's Scotland like? You live in the south of England. You know, it's like 8 hours away.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a couple day drive across Texas.
Yeah. So. See, that's it. This is the thing. I need to readjust my distance parameters.
So depending on how far away it is, I may not be visiting.
Well, it doesn't exactly sell it, you know, but it's such a good film. And Jeff Bridges is incredible in this movie. Yeah. And should have been nominated, I think, for his role in this. Really, really good. Anyway, there we go. Well worth seeing.
Well, I mean, there's always the opportunity, you know. John could write the directions down for you to get across Texas using the Brightside Home Theater pen.
I could.
You could just, you could prop it up on your dashboard. Oh, I took it down. That's what's happening. Yeah. Never mind.
But also the good news is you could do a 2 day drive and not stop wearing your Brightside diapers.
That's right.
You wouldn't have to make any stops.
I'd never Everyone's have to stop.
Yep. There you go.
It's dark and I'm wearing sunglasses. Let's
go. Keep going. Alrighty. I'm looking at the time here, guys. I know.
All right.
Too much quickly, pen talk.
We'd be never too much. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Secret Invasion. Did everybody see it or not see it?
Yeah.
I saw 20 minutes of the first episode.
What happened? You didn't like it?
I was not entertained.
Really? John, did you not like it?
I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Yeah, I liked it.
My problem with it is...
Did they film it in Spain?
No, well, yeah. That would have been more interesting. My problem with it is I don't find the story very interesting. I don't think we know it yet. Well, yeah, but, it's a Skrull invasion. Are they real? Are they Skrulls? So... They don't look that threatening. They're not that exciting. And I personally think Nick Fury is the dullest member of the Avengers, and he's a bit boring. And when he can't be Samuel L. Jackson that we know, so he's effing and blinding and, you know, and being Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, from the Hitman. He's not that Hitman's bodyguard. Yeah.
Well, yeah. He's not that engaging then. And so I was now, admittedly, again, let me out myself by saying I watched it on my iPad. Over lunch one day. So I hands up. but I don't find I don't think the, that I just
I don't think that changes a lot, though, because I didn't find this to be spectacular home theater wise.
I thought it was great.
Did you?
I thought the audio on it was fantastic. Yeah, it was like, I mean, for a stream, for a Disney, right, I mean, it's no Avatar.
Scene? There was no real, I mean, there was like the one big action scene, I guess, that I won't spoil it because Steve hasn't seen it.
Oh, you're all right, John. I'm not sure I'm going to go back to it, buddy, to be honest. I'm not, I don't know if I will.
Well, and even for the other listeners, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows by now there's a death at the end of the first episode.
Oh, what?
So, I mean, there's an action scene there. But, yep. I mean, I didn't find it to be that engaging home theater-wise.
I thought it was really good. I did like the story, though.
I did enjoy the story.
Yeah, so did I. I really enjoyed the story. I'm excited on where it's going to go, what they're going to do, what it means to the MCU entirely.
Should I give it a watch then, guys? Is this what you're telling me? I should go and watch it on the big screen in the theater.
I think
room
we would say
it again.
Yes.
I mean, I liked it. I liked it.
Right. I will.
If nothing else, the home theater experience, and then you could be the tiebreaker between me and John, because I thought in the basement it was good. I thought the picture was good. I thought the way they were manipulating. I mean, Steve. Maybe, just maybe, the cinema room could enhance
the delivery system.
Might make
a difference.
Yeah, that can't be the case. Surely not.
It's got to be better than that.
If it's great, it's great.
Right.
If not, write it down and I'll send it to somebody who cares.
Deej, let me just briefly interrupt this broadcast for a moment.
Somebody agrees with you, Steve?
No. What I didn't realize, Deej, is you are a master salesman. Okay,
what
you
use
reverse
now?
Psychology by giving away free stuff, because Andrew Panner in the chat says, "G'day, gents." I'm assuming he's Aussie, so we can do it Aussie if you like, mate. He says, "G'day, gents. I've just purchased a Brightside HT t-shirt. Love your work, fellas." Nice.
Thank you very much. See, and I mean,
we've never had that live on air before where someone's bought a shirt, Dean. So this is
Send
working.
Me your address, I'll send you a pen.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you played your cards right, DJ would have just sent you one. Just raise your hand in the chat and ask for one. DJ will send it.
See, John's getting mad because I promised him when we get to a certain point of profit.
At some point, we'd get monetized, and I'd see a buck or two out of this, but that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
John's got a retirement plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Actually, TJ, there is someone else in the chat, really quick, Deej. We've got a TJ8311 says he enjoyed, he says, "I enjoyed it." I assume he means Secret Invasion, and says, "But we'll wait a few more episodes before I judge it." So there you go. Okay, that's the sensible way of doing it.
Well, that's what I thought was interesting, Steve, that you're like, "I don't like the story." I'm like, "I don't think we know yet."
I just, it's the idea of it I find not very exciting. Again, bear in mind, 20 minutes in, so I don't know. Captain America was a Skrull
they didn't say that, but.
No, but do you know what I mean? That's the sort of the suggestion.
I think that's interesting. Some people might call it like that's their easy way out for lazy writing now, because they can just take anybody and go, "He was a Skrull the whole time." And it's like,
bring him back.
But that's comics.
Yeah.
When you read that in comics, you were like, "Oh no." But we were also like kids and our imaginations were a little bit more sponge-like.
You
could accept things and not the fact that it wasn't filmed in Spain.
I had the ending spoiled for me before I saw it. You know, and my first inclination was, "Oh, well, it'll just be a Skrull." But after seeing it, I don't think that's the case. But I was like, "Oh, well, that person didn't die because it's probably just a Skrull." And we'll find out in the beginning of episode two that they're alive and well. But after watching it,
removes all the stakes, doesn't it?
I don't think that's the case. But yeah, somebody came into the store and spoiled it for me Wednesday before I got a chance to watch it.
Did they make it out alive?
They did, but they're not allowed back. So
yeah. All right.
Maybe they were a Skrull.
Yeah, maybe.
Let me do part of the invasion. You know what? I'll move that till next week. Let me do that. I'll move Mission Impossible 2 to next week.
Sorry, buddy. I know I've got
off. No. That's fine. And this is why we talked about this. No. All right. Let's get to some real coming soons quickly here, because that was the last one, right? Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
We've got nothing else here. So, let's All right. First up, because I do want to get to some listener experiences here. So first up, we have coming July 4th. Fireworks, baby. No, we got, at least in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still getting over it over here.
Not a big holiday over there, Steve, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, we
speaking of, I'll air it out on the show. Are we off next week? Because
I'm on, Steve's on. We talked about it before you joined. I'm not sure what you're doing.
I'm not sure either, but I may not.
I know I can make it. So, because I got to work the next morning anyway, so I'll be in
Dee's good just condition. Dee's just wants to rub it in about the fact that, you know, it's independence and that, you know, we broke away. That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a Tuesday, so I don't have like crazy things going on.
Yeah. It's going to rain here. So,
we could just do a rewatch of Hamilton, guys, you know, group watch. Yeah. That's fine. We'll just do that. You guys could just make me feel bad. It's okay.
I mean, what did they use to write the Declaration of Independence?
The broadside pen.
All right. All right. So we got Jim Carrey, The Truman Show from 1998. We have Upgrade. Yeah. This you've seen on my Kaleidoscape. I haven't seen it on my collection, but this I've seen the tile.
Never seen it either.
You guys, tell me this. Tell me this very quickly then. Do you like Paul Verhoeven movies like RoboCop and Total Recall?
Yes.
Yeah.
See this immediately.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I've been told. I just haven't.
Fantastic. Yeah. No, it's great.
Yeah.
We've only got the Blu-ray here and I will import this almost immediately. This is
coming
fantastic.
July 4th.
Yeah, well, quite. I'm going to get the order in because it's ultra violent, futuristic tech, bit of body horror as well. It is fantastic, guys. You will love this film, John. You're going to, I mean, prepare yourself for awesomeness. Okay, you in particular, but Deidre, I think you'll really like it as well. But I'm telling you guys, and you guys love Bloodshot. Get six copies, Deidre. It's got some similarities to Bloodshot, but this is way better.
Great.
I like Bloodshot.
I'll start with the one. I have one copy.
Oh, yeah.
Kaleidoscape One won't let him buy more.
I know.
I've tried.
I've sent you those texts, haven't I? Like, look, I tried to buy this movie again, and I already own it. Whoops.
Can hear the Kaleidoscape sighing. DJ, look.
They should come out with the DJ version. It's the same thing. You're just paying twice.
Different tile.
Yeah, exactly. You could change your tiles. I did that for a few Star Wars. I put the original poster on there. But anyways, also,
if you guys are going to watch this though, if you guys are going to see this, tell me because I will happily watch it for a third time, and then we can talk about it. Because I'm telling you,
I'll try for next week. All right. Also coming on July 4th, what's more appropriate? Jaws 2. And in case we didn't say it for the audio only, did we say Upgrade? We just raved about
Upgrade. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
I might not have said it. Yeah, we all get excited. So Upgrade.
Upgrade.
2018 in 4K. Sorry about that. That was the previous one. But also, Jaws 2.
Jaws 2.
It just dawned on me, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, I always thought that came from Jaws. It just dawned on me. It came from this. I mean, I was a kid in both cases. So I didn't, you know, by the time I was conscious of any of that, it was years and years later, and I just mixed them all up. But I'm like, the water. I get it.
When I made my little Twitter joke, I was like, I was waiting for somebody to say, that's Jaws 2. But nobody did. So
no, I saw your joke, but then I saw it someplace else as well. Yeah. So Jaws 2.
I'm one of the people that really likes this.
I like Jaws 2.
No, I know. Which cover would you prefer, John?
I like the one on the left, DJ.
Yeah, I figured you would.
I'm a rear view mirror kind of guy.
Yeah, we're that kind. We've had that conversation many times.
That's probably the steel book, though, right? Yeah. So it's more expensive.
Yeah. And you'll get it.
I prefer the much, much racier Cinema George one. Look at that.
Whoa. Yeah.
Check
yeah.
that out. Whoa.
I might need to grab that pen, Steve.
Got it there. Yes. So you can just fill in your own. But yeah, it's much maligned. I don't understand why people don't like Jaws 2. I like Jaws 2. I've always thought it. I mean, why? Obviously, it's not as good as
Spielberg
the first one.
Didn't do it, right? And he said he wouldn't. So that pretty much anybody that was a big fan, they're going to, it's much maligned before they probably even saw it. Because Spielberg's like known for not doing sequels at the time, said he wouldn't do a sequel. They do a sequel, and the big fans of Spielberg / Jaws are going to come out and dislike it regardless. And I've always enjoyed it. I was too young to hear that. We didn't have the internet then either.
Right.
Well, quite. But even like film critics seem to sort of malign Jaws 2. And yet it's good. It's not as good as the first one, but it's still very good.
They're totally unbiased.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of movies I like just because I like all the other stuff the guy's done or the person's done or whatever it is. It's like I'm biased, no kidding. So, all right. Speaking of, here we go. Tom Cruise. I came up from watching 2. I just looked at my wife and she goes, "Was it good?" I go, "He's just so damn sexy."
I'm crushed.
Oh, come on. How do you not? Although I will say, even before next week when I review MI2, I wasn't a big fan of the long hair. But as we'll discuss next week, we know why he had it, right? Mm-hmm. Don't give it away. That'll ruin next week's show. So, all right. I think that's it. That's it. So Mission Impossible.
Isn't MI4 out as well? Isn't 4 out as well?
Yeah.
I think 3 and 4 come out the same. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hang on a second. Mm. Let me check and see my...
I think they're just doing 2 for 2 for 2 right up to the until it comes out.
Right.
While you're looking for that, Andrew Panner, again, legend that he is, not the purchaser of the Brightside t-shirt, also says that Upgrade is awesome. So, you know, got some support there. Well done. Thanks, Andrew.
There you go, Steve.
There you
Mission
go.
Impossible 4, you're right. And I even had the graphic for it. I just didn't load it in. So there you go. All right. So Mission Impossible 3 and 4 coming. Cool. All right. Let's see. What do we got? Oh, yeah. So let's get to these. You can follow us on Twitter. Guys, shout them out if you know them. Your call signs.
Sure. Oh. Iceman. Crony. I do know mine.
Yeah. And then mine apparently is at Legal Beagle OK. Deej, I can't believe you passed up a chance to say that. You love saying Legal Beagle OK.
I have. You know how many times I spell that wrong? For some reason, I can't spell
Beagle. Legal and Beagle. Yeah. Well, the problem is it's the EA and the A in the GA, isn't it? So it's
awesome the EA and the GLE. I'm always Beagle. I'm like,
that's the French version.
Yeah.
Beagle. Back to old Bill Skarsgård again.
But yeah, you can follow us on Twitter over there. We also have Brightside Family Community going on. It's getting more and more traction. We're chatting about more things. I think that's where Mikey tweeted out about his Dominican Republic excursion with John, you know.
I think so.
But you can also, obviously, if you're watching this stream live on YouTube, whether it's on Brightside Home Theater or Steve's Twitter, you can also watch us on YouTube. So appreciate that. We're at 899 for followers. We're climbing all the way. And you know what? I'm thinking whoever is the 1,000th follower.
Creep
what
pen?
Are they going to get? There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. People are clamoring now.
If that's not an incentive to get us to 1,000, I don't know what is.
We'll start losing followers.
Yeah.
Telling you, the diapers is where it's at. There is an elderly market we're not tapping into.
And also, for all of this, you can find us on, go to the website, brightsidehometheater.com, which can also be found written on the side of the pen.
guys, Paul Hurst just joined the chat. Yeah. He says, he made just home. He says, Paul Hurst says, "Hello, just home from the cinema. What did I miss?"
You need a pen, Paul.
Write it down. Take notes.
Yeah, Paul, you can watch it on your phone. I don't have all the other slides still loaded, but yeah, it's the multi-tool for the home theater enthusiast. Go back in the early part of the show and you can see it. Or maybe I'll wrap it up later. I don't know. We've got time. Go to the website, brightsidehometheater.com. There you can click on the link for Patreon and support us. Well, John, why don't you describe what they do?
They donate.
Okay. You can,
sign up for as little as a dollar or as much as you want and become a patron. Or you can donate a box of popcorn. Small box is $5. Medium box is $10, and a large box is carte blanche. You choose the amount. So,
nobody was ever afraid of a zero at it. Just keep adding them.
That's right. A little zero never hurt anybody.
No. So greatly appreciated. Obviously, there's other ways to support the podcast, as Mike Schramm is showing, Omar, all these Johnny speakers, all these people, Danny speakers, all these people talk it up. Do, you know, Nelson, you know, he's inviting people to his theater now. Everything, just talk it up, because there's only so much the three of us can do, right? We're pretty much tapped out on our friends, just three of us. So
I've already signed up.
Exactly. So
I tried to spread it to 200,000 people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did my best.
You were actually working and you got escorted out.
I tweeted to all of my 60 Twitter followers. So.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, just all of these links are in the show notes as well. For any and all show. And last thing I think we should talk about, especially here on YouTube, and we don't do it enough, and people, more and more people have mentioned it to me, and I don't have a graphic for it. Takeover Tuesdays. Takeover Tuesdays, if you're on YouTube, if you're watching the stream or anything, and you're not familiar with the podcast, the audio version, there's a whole other podcast day we drop on every Tuesday. If you want to come on the show, all you got to do is email me, you know, dj@brightsidehometheater.com, and just would talk. And everybody that's been on the show, and that's why, like, today's show was Steve's first appearance. We had literally never heard each other. What's that?
His secret origin.
Yeah. We hadn't heard each other.
I'm a Skrull.
Yeah. And Steve, you tell him what it was like seeing you came on here the first time, because we know how shy you are, too, but.
Well, it's shy and retiring, 100%. Yeah, very introvert me. Yeah, absolutely. It was again. I started the Takeover Tuesday by saying it was surreal but nice, and it was at that point we had swapped DMs and we'd emailed and all that stuff. And you had talked at me before I'd obviously spoken to you on the YouTube stream. So it's very strange when you were actually talking to me. But it was, Deez, you guys, we can all do it. We can all talk forever if we want to. And so it's very easy. It's very easily flowing. It's not like you've got to plan this and prep it and, and write a long list of things to talk about. You know, you're a master at steering conversation and just letting it flow. and that's what people are worried about, isn't it? Everyone that comes on that's not been on before goes, I don't know if I had enough to talk for 2 hours or, you know, 20 minutes.
Right.
And yet we always do.
Including my wife.
And Megan as well.
Yeah. And I was like, trust me.
Yeah.
And when we stopped. Yeah. Go ahead, John.
Well, I was just going to say, also, 2 hours isn't a requirement, right?
No.
Your Takeover Tuesday can be 30 minutes. You know, you come on and talk about whatever you want. You know, I mean, it's going to go longer than that. Well, right. Because DJ's there.
thank you.
But my point is, like, it doesn't have to go 2 hours or 2.5, 3 hours.
Right.
If you've got an hour worth of good stuff to talk about, then that's still a good show. Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a great point. And honestly, though, I've been waiting for that person. I've been waiting for that show so that I could say, I'm like, this has been fantastic, blah, blah, blah. Thank you. And it's like, we don't need to do 2 hours every day. And it inevitably ends up there. It just does, because more often than not, I mean, if it's 2 hours, it's probably because I had something to do and that's what we could schedule. But we've gone three. We've done it. People have come on and been very nervous about it. And at the end, they're like, oh my God, it was just, including my wife. She's like, I don't like to talk. Like, it's me. But yeah. So thank you to everybody that's been on. If you're new to the show, a lot of people have said that you got to talk more about that on YouTube because people are just on YouTube and they're not listening to the audio part. Mm. And you'll see it there every Tuesday. A new show drops. That this week happened to be a rerun of Steve's first appearance, but next week is going to be huge. I promise you it is going to be huge. It is going to, send fireworks through the home theater world. No pun intended.
How is Steven Spielberg? Is he all right, Deej? Did you get on all right with him?
Yeah.
Oh, not that huge. Sorry.
You have to listen and find out.
Yeah. It's going to be huge.
All right. How is Joe Biden? Is he okay? Yeah.
I had him over for dinner. Yes. Let me see. What are we up to here? Oh, there we go.
Well, we should be doing listener experiences.
There we go.
Yeah. 10 minutes or so. So,
yep.
Well, I tell you what, guys, if you want to go longer, we can. So it's fine. So don't curtail minutes. It necessarily yep. for me. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. You read. Oh, I will save the tweaks for the week next week too, because mm-hmm. we're just chatting away. So let's get to these listener experience. Oh, yeah. That's right. It's going to be hung up.
Not by me.
That was, you even talked about, you said that in your Takeover Tuesday.
Yes.
It's like everything in your theater was done by somebody else. And you're like, even the pictures on the walls,
the plaque, everything was
good for you.
If I do it, it'll fall off.
Get a lot of earthquakes over there.
Well, the base.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. And sheer ineptitude of the person doing it.
Yeah. All right, let's get to this one from John. So, Steve, you want to read that?
Yeah, okay. So, why have I got to read the title? I'm not that sharp. All right. Fair enough.
I'll and that's it.
Take the point. Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Next.
Okay, so this is John, an email, because it says sent from my iPhone. Do we know John's thing? Just John, the John, some John. Okay. So it says, I got my new Denon 3000 or 3800, you guys would say, wouldn't you? Like a month ago and bi-amped them. It sounded pretty good going to 6 overheads. Got Odyssey editor app and set it. Was watching a video with Anthony Giromani and he was saying how in some timbre, I suppose it's French, speakers, pink noise should sound the same. My front three did not. I'm like, what the hell? It's from same line, same driver. Then I started over EQing in editor app to get sounds more similar. Yeah, it sounded horrible. Then I looked at graphs in editor app closer. My frequencies dropped off a cliff after 1000 hertz. I'm like, what the hell? Is it something to do with biamping? So I looked at all my connections, looked fine, except I had plugged the high signals for biamping in wrong inputs on 3800. So I'd been listening to it for a month without correcting. Fixed that, and my front speaker suddenly had static noise that had never been there before. So I said, screw it. I'll just hook up skip by amping, same static. I'm wondering if this is some sort of code. Are we anyway, okay. So, I'm worried if we're starting a war in the Far East or something. Now I was like, what the hell? It's like the weather in Moscow is good at this time of year. Okay. Anyway, now I was like, what the hell? So I looked at all my settings after switching speaker wire configurations several times, still static. Then I was like, crap. What else can I do? I had the speakers for second AV set to mono, as I read was best way to do it. So as soon as I set to direct, all static gone. I went back, bi-amped front speakers, perfect sounds, seamless. I feel like a complete moron. Thought you might enjoy my home theater troubles. I am a bit worried. Someone just check the news. Make sure that war has not just been launched somewhere. Because at times in the middle, that sounded a bit Mission Impossible.
Well, you know what I loved about this? I feel your pain, John. because we've all done this. We try to do something like, oh, I saw that you can do this and you can do that. And Greg has bi-amp speakers in his living room right now. And he's like, what do I do with these? And it's like, when you get more confused, like not confusing, I should say, as you get up in more features, all they do are cause more issues that, like, if you don't nail it, it's, and you, now how do I find the link that's gone wrong here? It's like, which one is it? And you listening to everything that he had to go through, it's like, we've all done it. We've all done it. Even listening to your Takeover Tuesday, Steve, your professional installers put the HDMI cable in backwards. you're like, okay. I mean, did they have Mickey Mouse ears as they were working? But you know,
they did feel stupid.
But we've all done it. And it's like, you know, like when John Brock, he was on and he's got people, his theater is amazing. It's absolutely gorgeous. He gets people over there and he pushes play and then goes, it's like, oh no, what do I do? And he had to problem solve it on the fly while at least trying to demo, like, you know, I mean, it's paid a pretty penny for that thing. And it's like taking your Ferrari out and it just craps the bed. You know, it's just like, what are you going to do? But it happens to everybody. And it, especially when you're a DIY guy and you try to do some stuff, like you try to get a little bit more extravagant. You're like, oh no, what went wrong? I don't know. Because you don't, I hate to say it because I've done it. I know I can say it because I've done it. You literally don't know what you're doing yet. You're just, I saw this online. Let me try it. It's like before there was online, we used to say, on the playground, I saw this in a cartoon once. Let me try it. Yeah. Like, that's pretty much what online has become, right? And only now we're not falling off our bikes, jumping 30 feet in the air. Work for Roadrunner. So Steve's laughing because he doesn't have this problem.
Right.
I'd try and avoid it wherever possible.
No, but you saw your installers have problems. So
yeah, but that was so cool.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, yeah, but it's not unique to us. It happens to everybody. Anybody working with this gear, you're going to have problems. And to me, that's part of the fun. I like working through them. Maybe not in this, and my wife can attest to this. Maybe not when I'm trying to sit down to watch something and you get a little frustrated and she's going, just calm down. It's like,
argh! Yeah, that's never going to work, is it?
No,
someone tells you to calm down. It's red rag to a bull.
Yeah. Sounds like it's one word. Red rag to a bull. Wow, that's a lot of syllables. All right. Quickly, I forgot to upload the next one. Do you have anything to say about that, there, Steve?
About a pen. It's mightier than the sword.
There we go.
Yeah. $99.99, I think it is, isn't it?
No. There we go. There's the next one. John, you want to take that? No, I'll actually upload another one.
Sure. Regarding recent Takeover Tuesday, this looks like an email as well. It says, LOL, maybe I also watched Battle of the Planets as you did. Happy times. You and Danny also touched on crossovers. I have found after much messing around that Front 3 for movies or shows, series, etc., 55 for Towers and 60 for Center. For anything music, concerts, YouTube music videos, etc., 80 all Front 3. 120 all four surrounds and 100 ceiling. And I have the same TV as him, the Sony X90H. Those were Costco only, exactly the same as the X900H, sold everywhere else, but with a 3-year warranty. And he can be rest assured it's an excellent TV, one down from the top LED that year, pretty close in performance. Paul B, New Bedford. I also have the X900H in my bedroom. So,
oh, look at you. Nice. Fancy. Yeah. So, crossovers. I'm now doing all of mine at 120. Around, is it 120? I think it's 120. Or 100 across the front. Yes, 100 across the front and 120 everywhere. Four surrounds and my four overheads. Can't say I notice any difference because when I went to that, I actually changed the speakers as well. So, and I'm having too much fun with them as, you know, the SVS speakers as it is, that I don't want to start, I don't have time to start messing. Like, let's set it to this and then go back and see which one's better. Cause I think it sounds fantastic. So, yeah, I think if you have a good subwoofer system in you're getting it, you should be able to handle anything really from 100, 120 down. Should be able to go to the sub and let the speakers do, you know, whatever you choose from there is a personal preference. So, any comments, guys?
No, I mean, I have all mine non-standard as well, because the standard, quote unquote, is 80, right, for everything. I was just trying to look, because I have my notes here from when I had the mini DSP put in. And yeah, my front LCR is at 75, center is at 77. Ceilings are at 78, and then the subs are at 80. So, I mean, they're all still pretty
surrounds,
low.
You mean? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, the surrounds. but there are, you know, nothing is set at 80. You know, like it,
yeah,
like they kind of tell
interesting.
You to.
Right. So. Cool. All right. And one other thing, don't let anybody tell you you're doing it wrong.
Right.
If you like the way it sounds, if you go someplace and you hear something you really like, and then you ask them what theirs is and you want to try it at home, that's great. But don't let anybody tell you online blindly go, that's wrong. No, it's no. Enjoy. All right. We have this one from, let me take down the graphic, Steve, if you want to read that one, please.
Okay. So this is from PK Hammer. This is like a whodunit. All right, we've now outed the culprit.
This was a little while ago.
Yeah. The culprit has outed themselves.
I swear I didn't know that when I asked you to read it.
You unwinded you. I'm kidding. It's okay. I knew this was coming. So this is from PK Hamu 2005. It's a comment on the YouTube video of the live stream of show 289. And he's had to put this here for reasons that we went through, which is that he can't do it on Twitter, at least not to me. And it reads as follows. It says, right. Hi, Steve. PK here. Oh, yeah, quiet. This is it. Hi, Steve. PK here. It was me who tweeted on the subs. All right. I'm not going to do it previously on the Bright Side Home Theater podcast. If anyone that doesn't know what this is, go to a couple of episodes ago. It says it there, stream of 289. You'll see it on there. Anyway, it was me who tweeted on the subs. It was done in a good humor, I think you mean, and intention was never to criticize your subs. Haven't ever done the same before, any time before on your setup. As a fellow enthusiast, I would never make fun of anyone's setup coming from a modest setup of mind. Sorry, since you felt bad about it. It happens probably when we aren't in a good mood and may take it in a different way. All the best, mate. So, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice of him to send the message. Fine. And you know, it's okay. It's kind of what we thought it was in terms of what he meant versus what it read to be. But he's still in Twitter jail for a little while yet.
To be fair, to let PK
still in timeout.
to let PK know, you told us in the show what had happened, and you took it, and it can be taken in both ways. And when you describe, and what he said was, just to let people know, to get them up to speed if they haven't heard it, is he said, time for new subs. And it was in that context of the movie. And you were like, that's it. And it's like, cause whatever, you took it as he was criticizing your subwoofers, like you need new ones now. And we agreed with you. And then it was you that told us after show, we were talking about it. And I'm wondering if it like clicked in your head, cause I didn't give it another thought. I'm like, you do that all the time. But you said to John and I, you were like, maybe he meant like, I broke him with that movie. And both John and I went, oh yeah, there you go. And then he went on YouTube after hearing you talk, and he was like, oh no, he just took it the wrong way, which is great. You know, he took it that way. He sent that, but no harm, no foul in either way. But that's why everybody hates the internet.
Steve still has a little harm and foul in his mind.
He's in Twitter jail for a little bit.
He's in timeout. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you take the other guy out? That you don't even know?
Which one was this?
The one from The Community.
No.
Nobody even know. The person doesn't even know. Nobody even knows the incidents. But I don't either,
including me.
No. So when you set up The Community, I was going to set both of you guys up as moderators.
Oh.
And people are coming at me fast and furious. Like Fast and Furious, we got like 40 people now. But when it first was announced, they're like, "Yeah, can you add me?" And I'm like, "I couldn't add a person. I can't add a person." I'm like, what the hell? And then it dawned on me. I had to read the rules and regs. If any moderator has them blocked, they're not allowed. And I didn't know. So then I went and I took Steve off as being a moderator. Boink! They went right in. But then I had to tell Steve, I'm like, you can get back in. I'm not kicking you out, but it booted Steve just because I unclicked that. And I'm like, come on back in, buddy. You're allowed in. I just can't make you a moderator because you're too temperamental.
but I couldn't, but he was worse than that. I wasn't Deej because I'm like, who's this guy? What?
I know. You've blocked somebody. You'd be like, who is he? I don't know.
Must have felt like it. I've gone
people like I give away pens.
Oh, I've gone block crazy on all my social media the last month and a half or so. Yeah.
Not a single person.
Every time I see the word woke in any context, I block that person. Every time somebody makes a stupid comment about something, I block them. Like, I just don't have any time for that noise anymore.
Can't talk to you on Twitter anymore.
Yeah, you're blocked.
it's crypto is the word that always makes me go, I'm just blocking
everybody now because if you say something stupid, I'm blocking you because I just don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Nobody in the home theater group is blocked yet for me, but I'm just saying in general, there's certain trigger words for me that if I see them, I'm blocking that person.
The night is young, John.
Yeah.
The night is young.
Well, you know what's funny is I said this to Jen, and I think it pertains to this podcast. It pertains to podcasts in general and the communities, not just this home theater community, but all communities. And I said to Jen, I think the difference is, like, especially in this country, I know you're going through it in your country, there seems to be a bigger divide all over the world. There's a bigger divide between people. And everybody's like, we've never been so separated. And it dawned on me the other day, and let me know what you guys think. It's not the sides, regardless of which side you are on. It's not the issues. It's not the, if you're going to go politics, not the politicians. It's not this. What it is, it literally is, it's streaming and the internet and all of the content, not the fact that we can talk on the internet. That's the part that's actually, I think, if you follow this theory through, keeping us together. Because if you go back to when we only had three channels and you couldn't DVR, we were all together. Monday morning, you couldn't wait to talk about that show that happened over the weekend, regardless of, hey, if, you know, you're left wing, right wing, it didn't matter because you had that commonality of the television shows of there was so many things that you had in common because there were so few things that I love Matlock. Or I love, did you see, you know, Magnum PI last night? That was awesome. And you'd have great water cooler conversations about this stuff. But then you found out that your political views didn't align. But then you were still accepting of that person because I love you because of all the other similarities we have, right? We're so divided now because we're starting at the other part and we have nothing in common. We're all like in our own little bubbles and we love everybody in this community. And I can guarantee you everybody in this community has different political views. You don't care because you're like, you already know the person. You see what I mean? It's like, that's where I think the world has gone different. I don't think we're any different politically.
I don't think we're any more divided now than we ever were.
Me
I just
either.
Think we know, we hear about it more because everybody has
it's
a
amplified,
voice.
Amplified, isn't it?
Right.
It's amplified. Yeah. Because you and I, any one of us can talk to the planet. At this moment in time, we are live across YouTube, across Twitter, anybody on right. well quite but anybody on planet Earth
with a
phone with an internet connection can listen to what the three of us are saying or what anyone's saying and somehow There is this magic thing that sometimes happens, which is where, you know, that being on that screen means that you now have an opinion that people want to listen to. And so, and whatever that opinion is, whatever that thing you're saying is amplified by that and can be spread around the globe. Whereas before, you'd have some crazy guy at the end of a bar in a pub just spouting crap to whoever, and it never went any further. But now we can broadcast it, and you don't have to spend any money to do it. You can do it, you know, infinitely. Yeah. And I just think that that's, it's the amplification of it that, that seems to have made it worse, I think. But I, again, what do I know? But what that's what I think about it.
But I think the idea, like I was saying, I think the idea is that you're meeting these people for the first time at their opinion on something that might vary differently from you. Mm. So you're automatically, you're not getting to talk about Magnum PI. You're not getting to talk about your commonalities, right? Mm. And whereas like in the home theater community, like you were saying, like John's like, I haven't blocked anybody in the home theater community. You go into, and that's what's nice about like, and I'm not trying to promote Brightside Home Theater Community on Twitter, but you go in there, it's all, you can go out of there and talk about anything you want. But when you come in there, it's all home theater stuff, right? And that's all it is. So you don't have to do the blocking thing if you just want to come on and stay in there. And I'm pretty good on my Twitter. I don't block anybody, but I don't look at any of that. So I just scroll past whatever. If I'm not interested in, I just keep on going. And I like home theater and pretty much that's it. Hockey, comics, and that's it. And I just flip by everything else. And I do see stuff every now and then. People, and you go, oh, boy, there you go. But just keep on going. And but in the you know, in these communities that they've set up that we have now, is it's pretty cool. Same with the green room and same with any of this. And you find commonalities with people. I think that's what brings everybody together. We all have differences.
Right.
It's just where the internet's allowing us to start at the differences, so you never get to the commonalities. It's like, I hate that guy. Do you know him? Not really.
Yeah. But the good news is I don't need to. Right. No, I'm just kidding. That's why
I say, yeah, you're better than me, because I, like I said, I just block you. And I've blocked plenty of people in home theater groups. I just haven't blocked any of our people, our listeners.
Right.
You know, because every time somebody posts like, you know, oh, I bought this movie, blah, blah, blah. And the first comment is that movie's trash. Well, you're blocked because like there's no reason for that. If you don't like it, get out of here. You know, it's like I might not like the movie either, but this guy's obviously excited about whatever he's posting. And like for you to come on and just bash it for no reason, unsolicited, it's, you know, you're going to be blocked. You know, it's just,
this is the conversation that John and I had 5 years ago when I was down there and why we started Brightside. It's like people bashing everything. And we're like, they don't even know about it. Like, but yeah. So, all right. Do we want to wrap up on that? We have a few more
before I have to block somebody.
We've probably just been blocked by everybody.
We're blocked.
We're going to be proactive.
I'll show you.
Yeah.
I'll block you each other. First. Yeah.
We can go a little late this week, and this is what we choose for content.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's get back to it.
It wouldn't be so bad, Deej, but you're not selling them.
I know. But, you know, but that's why I like. But here's the thing. What I can tell you I am selling is support the podcast monetarily. Support it. Even if you can't support it monetarily, I'm going to find a way to get you this pen. Because seriously, it's, I'm not saying you can buy a pen. You can't. I want to be able to give these away when people do something special, something different. I have a couple ideas in mind that people can, you know, proactively just go, oh, I got to do that and I'll do it. Okay. But even if you can't support the podcast monetarily, growing the podcast grows people that maybe can. And we are still giving 50% of our profits away to, and profits loosely, I don't think we've had any. Because it's all been given away.
Because you're giving it all away.
Right. But this month is Autism Speaks. So, you know, this month, you know, we've got the donations from Joe. I didn't get to add up the numbers today. It's a pretty busy day. But we're looking at probably at 50%, we're over $200 again. So we brought in for the month. So I'll be given like $120, probably a rough estimate in my head, going to Autism Speaks. We're doing a lot of stuff for donation. Every month we're doing a different, you know, charity. So if you have a charity and you want to come on and talk about it, like Joe did, we'll do that. So that's where I think, you know, and all joking aside, that's where I think the pen is going to be important. Pen is mightier than the sword, boys. Believe me, I did not write this ahead of time.
I heard that a little while ago.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's fun. And somebody, and I'm telling you right now, Mike Schramm doesn't even know this, but I'll just tell you now, I'm sending Mike like a bunch of these because Mike's traveling. Mike gets out and carry a few with you, give them out. It's like, there you go. That's one thing I want to do. I don't care about money. I need it, but I really would like to do the charity thing, and I like giving stuff away. As John knows, I've been doing it since we started.
Are we saying
except I don't have a pen or a shot glass
my son or all made those. I got
the
get
myriad
that
other things that you give away to everybody else.
I just got the pens. Look, I literally just got the box of pens today.
Just see? Giving you a hard time.
This has got the receipts, everything. Literally just showed up today. So, I will get them for you. And we'll talk after show. I got something else for you guys too. But all right, that'll do it for this week. Crazy show. Lots of fun. Mm-hmm. We so much fun. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Thank you for participating. Sorry about the chat this week. It's see how important that is? That was really disappointing that we couldn't see that the entire time. So, but all right. And we will be back next week in some form on July 4th at 5 p.m. Eastern time. I know at least Steve and I will be here if John can't make it. Maybe we'll get a special guest. Maybe not. Maybe it'll be Steve and I can go. So we'll be good. And don't forget next week's Takeover Tuesday. It's going to be, I'll give it away. Paul Hurt is joining me, and you're not going to want to miss it. A lot of work went into this one, and very important, and it's going to send fireworks through the home theater community. So, all right, that'll do it for this week. What do we got to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
Here we go.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.